I too wish to greet everyone in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome everyone that's here. I've been already blessed by the thoughts that were shared this morning. Sounds like we have a work to do from what Tim shared. We have a work to do to get ready, don't we? And none of us know when that's going to be. The message I've chosen to share this morning, I've been thinking about for some time here, and just wanted to, some of my thoughts that led up to this message, here recently, well just last weekend actually, my brother Jared was involved in a prison ministry in Chillicothe, and there's probably a group of around 20 people that have this, that are part of this ministry. And I think they try to go in usually once a month or so, one evening out of a month, and just share with different of the, just have chapel there basically with the prisoners. And twice a year, they usually go for 4 days. So they'll have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they're pretty much there from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, so it's a pretty long day. But they had last weekend, they just finished up with that last Sunday, and he said he was really blessed and challenged by it, and it was really stretching for him. I think it makes you think a little different. When you're in there with people that are behind bars, people that are locked up, it makes you think of the freedom that you have. And one of the things that they did when they were there was, there was different people that baked cookies to take in there, and I think they took around 150 dozen or so, and quite a few cookies that they took in for these people. And they were, one of the jobs that he did one day was walk around with a guard and pass these cookies out to different prisoners there. And he mentioned that one day there was about 95 people on death row that they passed cookies out to. And these people had just a small cell, like 6x8, where they stayed in. They have a shower there, a toilet, just a place to sit. That's where they stay most of the time. And a lot of those prisoners are there anywhere from 10 to 18 years, it kind of varies. But a lot of them on death row, pretty much all of them are sentenced there for life. I mean, they're not going to get out of there alive usually. But it was just a challenge. I thought about that. You know, we have freedom today. It took my mind to several different places. But I thought about, as we live in this country, you know, all of us here this morning, we have freedom. We can go places, we can go out of country, we can go out of state, we can drive down the road, we can do basically whatever we want to. I mean, we're free to do what we want to, right? I've titled the message this morning, Freedom Unto God. As we think of freedom, what do you think of this morning? What does freedom mean? I looked up several definitions of freedom. The one was the absence of constraint, freedom from physical restraint, slavery, oppression, government, or external interferences, freedom of thought and expression, the right of holding opinions, seek, receive, and impart information without interference. Then we have another definition, responsibility and morality. True freedom isn't doing anything. It's using your liberty responsibly, respecting others, and acting for a greater good, often aligned with a moral or spiritual purpose. And as we think of the freedom that God would intend us to have this morning, I believe it's living in liberation from sin's powers, to live righteously and fulfill one's purpose in a relationship with Him and others, with God and others. Finding liberty to serve God with all our heart and giving up ourselves to serve others. and to serve God. That's what God wants us, that's the freedom that God wants us to have this morning. Turn your Bibles, you're welcome to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Just going to look at a few verses here this morning. As we think of freedom, Luke chapter 8, I'm going to start reading in verse 26 and read through verse 39. There was an account here where Jesus came over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he came into this town, and this man here that was chained, we would say. He didn't have freedom. He had many demons living inside of him. And notice what happened here as we read through this account. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abide in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. That doesn't sound like freedom, does it? So we have a picture here, Jesus coming into this town and this man meeting him. This man with no clothes meets him, and he lived in the tombs. So he lived in a graveyard. Basically, that's where he lived. And if we read in one of the other books, I think it was Mark, says this man was crying out and cutting himself day and night. He would cry out, and it was a pretty pitiful situation as we think of that. Jesus meets him here, and seemed like Jesus told the evil spirit to come out of him before it answered him. So Jesus comes to him and basically commands the evil spirit to come out of this person. In verse 30, Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils are entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Now I wonder why the devils didn't want Jesus to tell them to go into the deep. That's where they ended up anyway. I'm not sure. It was just interesting. (clears throat) 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus said unto him, saying, Return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. When Jesus met this man, he was untamed, and people couldn't even keep him fast with chains. It says the fetters and chains, he would just break them. We have a picture of sin and a self-filled life here. This man was a miserable man, and he wanted to get away from it. I believe he did. He wanted to be free. And this morning, we see a picture of sin here, how sin binds a person so tightly that it's so hard to get away from. But the power of Jesus here is what we really like to notice. Jesus' power is so great, it can free those chains of sin. I thought of the song, "Glorious Freedom, Wonderful Freedom, No More in Chains of Sin I Repine." That's the power of Jesus this morning. They wanted to go, the devils there wanted to go into the pigs. And the pigs were considered as unclean beasts back in the Old Testament. They were forbidden. Feeding pigs was one of the lowest occupations that a person could do back in the Bible times. We remember the story of the prodigal son. When he was at his lowest point, he was feeding pigs and even eating the pig food. Anyway, Jesus allowed them to go into those pigs, and we know what happened there. But I'd really like to notice what happened to the man. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That man was a totally changed man because he met Jesus. He received the true freedom. The true freedom that Jesus alone can give. And then notice the people's response from the city. In verse 37, they were taken with great fear, it says. They were afraid. And they actually asked Jesus to leave. It's a sad picture we see there. But I believe Jesus, he wasn't there to make a big deal out of himself. He was only there to do his Father's will, to bring the gospel. And I don't know if Jesus knew when he got to this city that he would meet this person. I don't know. I kind of doubt he did. But he changed that man's heart, and he told that man to go tell others. And it says that he did. How big of an impact do you think that man left on the city? I really don't know. But I believe that man probably could do more to his country than what Jesus could if he stayed there. And not saying Jesus' power was limited, but I believe that man had a testimony that he was saved from. And I think sometimes that's one of the most powerful things in our life. If we have a testimony that we were freed from the chains of sin. In there at the jail service, there was one man that Jared said was a person that was actually in jail. He was one of the most powerful speakers there, preachers there. He could really preach. And I believe God uses people like that have come from a dark place sometimes. When he changes people, they make a complete turnaround. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." I believe we are here to serve. Jesus wants to take our sins and wash them away and make us one of his servants, where we serve out of love. And I believe if we would teach more of a servant heart in America and in our churches, I think we would have, I don't believe we would have as many problems as we do. Jesus, God made us, God created us to serve something. We're going to serve something. Either it's ourself and Satan, or we'll choose to serve God out of love for him. Jesus came to minister, to give. If there was anyone that had the right to come as a king or ruler or dictator, it would have been Jesus. After all, he was coming to set you and I free. We were just like that man, chained in sin, and Jesus came to set us free. Those prisoners in the jail, they can feel when the guards have love toward them. Here, several years ago, there was a guard in there that was beaten to death by one of the prisoners, and one of the guards there said it kind of changed some of the other guards' attitudes, and it really makes a difference on the people sometimes with their, sometimes they can they really have the control mentality, or their heart isn't in the right place, and the prisoners feel that. And I believe, you know, that's how it is with us as well. When we show Christ's love, when we receive God's love into our hearts, and we give that to others, others can feel that. John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me," was Jesus' testimony. God calls you and I to serve. That is where we find our freedom. It's in Christ. And when Christ redeems us of our sin, when he frees us, we want to serve him. Just like that man, he wanted to serve Christ. He wanted to follow Christ. We are set free in Christ. Galatians 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage," that bondage that Christ frees us from. Stand fast in the liberty of Christ. Romans 8, verse 2 through 8, we have another definition of freedom here. Paul describes it really well in Romans several places. And I'd like to read these verses. Romans 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Verse 2 brings out Jesus' law. "If you come to me, I'll set you free." The old law said, "You've sinned, therefore you must die for your sin." In verse 6, we see our carnal mind is bondage. Our self brings us into bondage. But as we have that new mind of Christ, it sets us free. When we allow Jesus to give us a new mind, we have peace, and we can have freedom here in this life. So as we think of God's call to freedom, how do we view that? We all want to be free. And to a certain extent, we are. We have freedom here. Not one of us wants to live in bondage or tied to something. Living free, what does it really mean? Does freedom mean you can do whatever you want? Does living free mean you can do whatever you want? There's two questions that I thought about. Does freedom mean you can do whatever you want? Does living free mean you can do whatever you want? There is a difference there. Freedom is basically being able to do what you want. If you have the freedom to do whatever you want, you have the freedom this morning to do whatever you want. But if you want to live free, you need to use your freedom wisely. And I believe that's how it is in life, in about anything where we have freedom to make a choice. If we don't use it wisely, we won't live free very long. Give you a little illustration. When I was young, we had a road that went up the hill behind our farm. It came down to the bottom of the road. There was a pretty busy intersection there. And Dad was usually a little careful about getting us to haul loads of hay down that hill because of the hill that was there, obviously. And he trusted us pretty young, but there was... He didn't often say a lot, but the words, basically what he did say is he gave us the teaching of what can happen if you come down that hill too fast. And so obviously when I started, I tried to be pretty aware of what could happen. And he had reasons to be a little nervous. When he gave me the freedom to do that, it meant I needed to now be careful with that responsibility. Did that mean I no longer had freedom? Not necessarily. He gave me the freedom to do it. So I could choose to do with it what I wanted to, right? Well, to a certain extent. You know, that tractor and that load of hay was mine, basically. I could control it the way I wanted, do what I wanted to with it. I could use the power of that tractor. I could go as fast as I wanted to. I could even push the clutch in going down the hill. I would have really took off. I had freedom to do it. I could have done whatever I'd wanted to do. But now we understand why there was some reservations, I guess, with Dad giving me that freedom. There was a responsibility with it. And I believe that's how it is in life. We have freedom. God created us with a free will. Back in the garden, God gave Adam and Eve freedom to do what they wanted to do. But he said, there's one tree there that don't eat that tree or don't touch it, or you will die. He gave them the freedom to choose. But if they wanted to live free, they needed to use that freedom wisely. And we know what happened. They ate of that tree, and after they ate of it, they felt that sin. They felt that bondage inside of them. They felt that sin. And all of us have gone through that. We know what it feels like to have sin in our life, to feel that bondage in our heart, to feel trapped by the devil. Paul says in Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You know, in life, we can do what we choose to. We have the freedom to do what we want to. But one thing that we cannot choose is the results of those choices. Those are set already by God. Freedom means willingly becoming a slave to Christ or a servant to Christ. And we'd like to look at that a little bit this morning. We don't serve Christ out of we have to. Jesus wants us to come to him willingly on our own. Romans 6. I'd like to read the chapter of Romans there. It brings it out. There's a lot in that chapter we could look at, but I'd just like to read that chapter here this morning. Romans chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. See the difference there between those two. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we become saved, we don't live in sin any longer. We are the servants of God. We are servants to his righteousness. We were once slaves to sin and death. But as we give our heart to Christ, we can be servants of Christ. And being servants of Christ is a big difference than being servants of self and Satan. There's a vast difference. Verse 20 through 23, Paul says, basically in my own words, why would you serve something that brings you bondage and in the end brings death? Why not serve something that brings you peace and joy here in life and in the end eternal life? Basically, in my own words, what he's stating. So, my point is there, we're going to serve something. God created us to serve something. And if we serve God, we have peace and joy here in this life and a free conscience. And also, like Tim mentioned this morning, we can have eternal life in the end. True freedom comes with accountability and responsibility. And if you don't use your freedom wisely, you will no longer be a free person. And that's a fact that God placed in order in life that we really can't change. Tim preached on faith, facts, and feelings last Sunday, and I believe there's several facts like that that God put in order that we can't change them. They're just there. There's a story here that I would like to read, and I probably most of you maybe have heard of this already, heard this story or something similar. The title is Bought to be Freed. A young girl was being sold at auction one day. She was a beautiful girl, tall and slender. The bidding was keen and quickly mounted higher and higher until at last two men were left bidding for her ownership. The one, a low, uncouth fellow who swearingly raised his bid every time to outbid the other, a quiet man of refinement. Finally, the bidding stopped. To the gentleman who had bid so very earnestly were given the papers which made him the lawful owner of the young girl. With a shove, the auctioneer presented her to her new master. Proudly, defiantly, she stood before him, hating him with every part of her being. Suddenly, a change came over her face. First, there was a look of pure amazement, closely followed by one of utter incredulity. Her owner was ripping up the papers of ownership and with a smile of kindness said to the now trembling girl, "My dear, you are free. I bought you that I might free you." Too stunned for speech, the girl merely stared till finally, with a cry of happiness too deep for words, she cast herself at the man's feet and through her tears exclaimed, "O master, I will love you and serve you for life." What the papers of ownership could not do, the man's kindness had won completely. The Lord Jesus has loved you and has paid such a price that he might buy you from slavery of Satan and free you. Will you not tell him, Master, I'll love thee and serve thee for life? It's a beautiful story there that illustrates, brings out the point that I wanted to bring out, that we serve God out of love, not out of we need to or we have to. And God came to set us free just like that man did that girl. He came to buy our freedom. We don't have to serve him. We can still keep serving ourselves, but the ticket is free. It's there if we take it or not. Serving God brings peace and joy and happiness when we serve him out of a heart of love. Out of a heart of love for him, for others around us. We put off the old man and put on the new man. And that's something, when we put off the old man, we have to replace it with something. If we don't, the old man comes back again. And I want to challenge each of us this morning that let's read God's word. Let's pray. Let's try to find God's word for our life. Fill your life with service to others, and you'll forget those things of the past. You know, we still live in our human nature, and we will struggle at times. We fail at times. But we can come back to God, and God is willing to reach out and help us and forgive us. Pour your heart into the church and community around you. Live fully for God. Seek the kingdom of God, and you will find that those selfish desires and that self within you will be squelched out by the things that you're doing for other people. Keep the sword of God near you and become a person of prayer. Play the music of God's love so loud that it drowns out the worldly, selfish desires around you. And there's many ways you can do that. Busy yourself in God's kingdom so that those things in your own, those selfish desires become small and insignificant. And that takes work. It takes effort. And I haven't attained to that yet. I'm still working at that. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for tying burdens on other people that were grievous to be borne. Let's show love to those around us. Give each other a heart of love. Overcoming evil with good. That's a powerful tool. And we heard a little bit about that this morning. Thank you, Fred, for mentioning that. Overcoming evil with good. I believe that's the heart that God wants to give each of us. There's a story, and I'll just relay this story of two sailors who let me back up here a little bit. It's a Greek mythology. It tells a story of this island where there was beautiful music played, and these sailors would sail past this island, and the music was so beautiful on the island that they would slowly drift toward that island. They would crash on the rocks and lose their lives. And probably isn't a true story, but it brings out a good point. There was two sailors that decided that they were going to take measures to go past that island without having their ship wrecked. So the first sailor, he had wax stuffed in all of his men's ears so they couldn't hear it. And then he tied himself to the boat, because he wanted to enjoy the music. But he told his sailors they're not supposed to lose him, no matter how much he wants to. They're just supposed to keep going. So they drifted past the island, and he really wanted to get loose. But they kept him tied up, and he made it through that way. Well, the next person, he went through, and he decided he's going to play beautiful music to drown that music out. And he had a lute that he had, it's a stringed instrument, kind of like a guitar. When they got close to the island, he just started playing the music, and he played that music so loud that the other music was, he drowned it out. And they made it that way. And the point of the story is, how are we sailing through life? Do we play God's music in our ears so loud that we don't see all the worldly things around us, and our carnal nature, those things are drowned out by God's word? It's a challenge for me. It's almost like, and we still have to fight our carnal nature, don't get me wrong, but I believe it's a little different way of thinking for myself. Are we overcoming evil with good? A few verses in Revelations that I'd like to read yet. Revelations 5, verse 9 through 14 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." If you have heard that heavenly song this morning, let's choose to sing with those in heaven. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Christians are free from bondage of sin, the law, and death. But Christian freedom does not mean we can do whatever we want, but rather that we are free to live for God and live in the abundant life that He gives to us. In that abundant life, God wants us to live out our faith. He doesn't want us to be forced to. He wants us to live for Him by choice. John 8, verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal, merciful, all-knowing Father, we come before you this morning again. We thank you for the freedom that you give to us. Thank you for the freedom of choice that you give us, that not one of us is forced to serve you. And yet you want us to serve you. You want our hearts, Lord. We just pray that you would help us to serve you out of a heart of love and a desire to serve others around us, to share the good news of salvation, what you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to live out our salvation to those around us, that you could be glorified through our lives. We pray for, help us to remember that the freedom that you give to us, to use it wisely and to honor you and glorify you in the things that we do in our life. We just pray that you would be with each of us as we depart from here. Just bless us and help us to serve you from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I believe that it's God's word we heard this morning. Say amen to it. Appreciated the message very much. I'm going to open the meeting up if you have something you want to share, testimony, fashion, anything you have to share, you have the opportunity to do that.